I gave you enough slack there so that you wouldn't have to go ahead and completely run it off the reel to save you from threading it all the time. Saves a little wear and tear on the end of the tape too, but I guess I was going to give you the idea of what the flying situation is here. All the units in the 12th Combat Aviation Group were basically centered around Kuchi and Tainan, but the 1st Cav has been a little bit north of here, possibly toward the east, toward Vung Tau, in the mountainous area right around there. But since the Arvin takeover, or supposedly the retake over the war by the Arvins, all of the aviation in the three core area is being centered at Fuloy, although there's still one assault helicopter company at Tainan, and then the 1st Cav is still up in the area up north, a little bit, maybe they're up north about, I don't know, 50 miles, I guess, up toward the bottom of, or top of 3 Corps. But all of the units have been, all the aviation units have been placed at 3 Corps. All of the 25th Infantry Division, which used to be in this area, has been stood down and are in the process of going home. Those people with 10 or more months service are going home with unit. Those people with less than 10 months service are getting reassigned to other units in Vietnam. But none of the people that were counted in the 25th Division will be replaced. In other words, that's how they get rid of their troops. Instead, they just don't send replacements for those particular ones. When they go home, they're gone. So it takes maybe, 6 months to a year to get everybody that's scheduled to go home gone. But in the meantime, they stand down a bunch of other units, and it, actually the people go home that the president says goes home, so that's pretty good. We're down to almost, just about 200,000, maybe a little less by now. But what's happened here is that in the 12th Combat Aviation Group, two Huey outfits have been turned over to the Arvins, so the Vietnamese Air Force, VNAF, and one Chinook unit has been turned over to the VNAF. And there are only two more Chinook units in the whole, all of 3 Corps, except for the Cav. I'm in one of them, and the Black Cats, the 213th, is the other. The 205th, which is the Geronimo's, is the one that was turned over to the Arvins, or VNAV, I should say. And right now, we are flying about two missions a day, and those missions are being flown by trainees that graduate from flight school from Fort Rucker, that are Vietnamese Air Force trainees, and we're flying them, giving them 60 hours apiece just to get them proficient enough so that they can go to one of their own units, which right now is the 205th, the only one they've got. So all the ACs and the IPs get to fly with these Arvins. None of the Peter pilots, which is what I am, get to fly at all. And it's really a bad situation because there are just not enough missions available and not enough aircraft available to get to fly everyone. Right now, the 213th, the Black Hats, are about the same position, except they're not training any Arvins, but they're only launching about two ships a day also. And that keeps them down pretty much. But in my opinion, what they need to do is stand down either us or the other company and turn us over to the Arvins so that only one unit can take on both missions. That way they can fly 4 a day, and maybe everybody in that one particular unit get to fly. The rest of us get to go home. But I don't think they're going to work that way. But that's the situation, and it doesn't look like I'll be flying anytime soon unless I get a transfer, and I might try to do that. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. I got a pretty easy job here. So I would really like to get out and get some flying and get some, work accomplished. I hate to be away from everybody for a whole year and not have accomplished anything or not even made it worthwhile, so to speak. I guess you understand what I'm saying. But it seems to me that I'm completely being wasted here, and it does kind of disturb me somewhat. But that's the way it is. Right now our company is about 53% strength on enlisted men and about 110% strength on officers, warrant officers. And there's 18 captains in this company alone. We're only authorized 6. So you can imagine how many officers we've got running around here and how many few enlisted men we've got. We've got some W-1s and W-2s holding down Spec 4 slots, running the switchboard and et cetera, et cetera. I think Jim will probably tell you how they can keep them busy around here, but we definitely do. Especially since we've moved, we've got the whole area to redo again, plant grass and make sidewalks and all that other stuff. So that's what all the excess officers are doing. So that makes it pretty bad, too. I lucked out in that case also being a combo officer and having combo to keep me busy. I don't have to get out and dig holes and stuff, so I feel pretty good about that. But I guess I can tell you a little bit about my surroundings. If I tell you too much on this tape, I won't have anything to say next time, but I guess I'll go ahead and say it anyway. The mess hall, for instance, is very good. They have all you do is sign your roster and pay your money, which breakfast is a quarter, lunch is 50 cents, and dinner is 65 cents. And you go and sit down, and then a waitress, a Vietnamese waitress, in whites and everything else, real nice and clean, completely different from what I've seen them before, and brings you your plate, and you get iced tea and dessert and anything else you want, milk, Kool-Aid, whatever you want. But it's all brought to you, and you sit there and eat up and finish your food and have a cigarette and drink three or four glasses of iced tea, and then you walk out, and you don't have to clear your own tray or anything, which I'm kind of used to as far as over here anyway. My hooch mate here, I'm living with another guy, and each hooch mate has five people she works for, and I'm one of the five. And all they do is, they give you pretty good habits, because generally I'd wear a pair of fatigues a couple of 3 days, you know. Well, not even over here, I guess I would, if I had to wash them myself or pay for them to get washed. But, and shining shoes, I'd hardly ever shine shoes over here, but... what happens is about 8:30 in the morning, she comes in and gathers up all my dirty laundry and takes it out and washes it, and then she hangs it up on lines. And then when she's doing that, or when she finishes hanging it up on lines, she comes in and gets the boots I wore yesterday and takes them out and spit shines them. And I've got three pair of boots. I've got two leather, all leather boots for flying, and one combat boot for ground. And I just, since I don't fly, I just rotate. I wear one pair of boots every third day. She only has to shine one pair a day. And as soon as she gets done shining a boot, she goes out and the clothes are dry, and then she irons and starches my fatigues, and brings all my underwear and everything back in, lays them on my bed, makes my bed. And once a week, she takes my sheets off and washes them, brings them back. And then she sweeps out the room, you know, and throws all the garbage out of the wastebasket and picks up after everybody. You know. And that's what she does, and I pay $5 a month for that service. So that's not bad. And they're not supposed to steal anything from me, but just in case, I keep my lockers locked. But they've been pretty good about it so far. So that gives you an idea of how I'm living. I get up in the morning, and when I come back at lunch or after dinner at night, my room's cleaned up, my bed's made, and all my clean clothes are stacked on my bed, and all I have to do is put them away. So that's a lot better, anyway, from what I'm used to. I'm not, no offense down there, but I'm talking about the last tour in Vietnam. So a little humor there, I guess. After the day is over with, so to speak, as far as working goes, I go to dinner, and then I come back over here and sit down and write a letter. Sometimes I'm all so stinky and everything, I want to go take a shower first, but tonight I didn't. I got all my tapes and everything today, so I wanted to start making these tapes. But I come back and write a letter or tape one, and go in and shoot some pool, and I have maybe a couple, three Cokes. And I haven't been doing hardly any drinking at all over here. But I spend shooting pool at about, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then I read. And just in walked my roommate there. He's got a can of Budweiser in his hand and whistling Dixie or something. He's an Indiana farm boy, he says. But anyway, he's a lieutenant, and I guess he'll be all right when he gets a little experience. Take it easy. And, well, where was I? Anyway, and then I get tired of shooting pool, and I usually go to bed. And then about an hour after I go to bed, I wake up because mosquitoes have eaten me alive. So I wake up and get some mosquito repellent and spread it all over my bod, and then go back to sleep again. But it's too late because I already got the mosquito bites and they itch like crazy. And I toss and turn about 1 o'clock in the morning before I fall asleep. And then bright early the next morning, I get up again and go to work. So that's kind of a daily routine here for me. And so far, I'm kind of enjoying it. Today, I went down to Long Bend, and went by vehicle. And it's about, I guess, Long Bend is about, I don't know, 20 miles, I guess. 20 miles, let's see, which direction? I guess 20 miles east of here, maybe east, southeast a little bit. But I went down there and went to get a crypto clearance validated so I can take over the classified portion of our company here and be legal about it. And while I was down there, I got the last part of my finance record squared away, my particular travel. I hope that, and I checked also and see if they'd mailed a check, and they had. So if you haven't got it by this tape, boy, you should have had it by now. So make sure you let me know. But I think it was $1,153 or something like that. But anyway, finished off mine. I got on my travel pay, I made another $22, so I just took it in cash and kept it. so far I've started off with $200 less the flowers and etc. And I've got about 150 plus of it left. So besides that check I wrote the other day for Janie's Christmas, yeah, I love you, baby. Except for your Christmas present, Janie. I haven't spent any money. I probably won't have to do any check writing or anything for maybe a month or so, because this 150 has lasted me pretty good. But anyway, I'm not getting paid at all over here. I figure that I can go down to the PX anytime I want and write a check for $50. So I just kind of hang loose with the money I've got and see how long it lasts before I start writing any checks. But I am intending to come home on leave. I can't start leave until my fourth month, which makes it December, January, February, March. So I can't even come home until April or March 28th, so to speak. So unless maybe I can, get somebody's sympathy or something because of you having a baby, having our baby, I guess. So maybe I can get home for it, but I'm going to give it a try. But for that, I'll need about, $350 to write a check for the tickets. So we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know further on that maybe after Christmas or when I've been here a month or so. I'll start working on it. But I've started thinking of things to say. What's that for? The second. Another guy that lives right across the hall just walked in and paid me for some cigarettes he just borrowed out of my locker. But this leave, you can't take it before your fourth month or after your eighth month. So that means I've got to take it between my fourth and eighth month. That's so I'm going to have to work something in there. If I can take my leave around the fourth month and then take my R&R about the seventh month, and that'll be 4 months from now and then 3 months from leave, and then there's a kind of a rumor going around. I don't know how it's going to... It seems to be pretty factual, though. It looks like the Vietnam tours are going to be dropped about 10 months. But don't count on it. I mean, it's just some hearsay. But if this happens, I take it in my seventh month, and then I'll have 2 more months and I'll deroute. Or 3 more months and I'll deroute. And I'll pretty well split it up. So maybe I can see you, like next year pretty soon. But see you. Be a month, huh? 9 months, 10 months. September of next year, about the same time I went on leave this year. But I'm kind of looking forward to a 10-month tour. So far, nobody's got any drops that amount to anything. Enlisted men have been averaging about 45 to 60-day drops so far. But senior NCOs and officers haven't been so lucky. They've been spending their full tour here. But we got a lot of time for that. And the war is really slow. You just cannot believe it. This is the truth, too. I'm a lot safer right here, right now, than I am on the San Bernardino Riverside Freeway. I guarantee you that. There's absolutely nobody around here driving over 20 miles an hour, and there's absolutely no enemy in action whatsoever. It hasn't been for the last couple of months since the Cambodian raid. Hasn't been anything at all. So apparently that mission was fairly successful because it really slowed the war down. But I don't know who the people are getting killed, but considering there's still 3 full divisions plus here, that's still not very many. But I haven't seen any war or any signs of war. Don't even carry weapons out on the roads anymore between LZs. And don't carry weapons. I haven't even been issued one yet, and I don't even want one because they're just something you got to secure, and I don't have any use for it anyway. So that just gives you the idea of what's really happening here. Absolutely nothing. This is more of a stateside unit than Fort Benning was as far as duties and everything go. The only thing that's bad about this is I can't have you here, Jenny, and that's pretty bad, believe me. And I think I'll write you a letter tonight so that you can read it. But I kind of feel bad about the whole thing. Well, I guess that's the way it goes, though. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this tape up. It looks like I'm getting toward the end of my reel, and I just want you to know that of all my endeavors, I did find a tape recorder, and I got plenty of tape. So if you have any problems getting tapes over there, and then you just re-record these, and then we'll just use the same 24 tapes for the whole year. But it doesn't look like we'll have much of a problem. So until later... good night. I guess we're going to go watch that movie now, so we'll see you later. This will be in the mail tonight. Goodbye, and I love everybody, especially Jenny. Bye, baby. Well, I just ran the tape a little bit more, and I thought I had a little bit more left than I thought, so I'm going to dedicate the rest of this tape to Jenny, and since it's between me and her. So, so long, folks, and hello, Jenny. I just can't tell you how much I miss you, and I don't know, it just seems kind of funny talking into a tape recorder and with the feelings that I have, but be advised, man, I'm really lonely, I really am, and it just seems like I've lost something that, that I never had before, and the last two I didn't lose because I didn't have it, but I just can't tell you how much I love you. I just don't have the words for it, and especially when I'm talking to this inanimate Mike. But I love you. I miss you. Oodles and bunches and 2, 4, 6, 8 and hugs and kisses and everything. I really love you, baby. Good night until later, and take care of yourself and be good, okay? Take good care of Nika. Good night.